Well, if you'd go ahead, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Oh, I'm changing it up on you. We're not going to be in 1 Thessalonians tonight. Rather, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians. And also consider one verse there in Colossians. But for now, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I'd like to consider a thought that's contained in the two passages I'm going to have us consider tonight. The truth that we'll see in them is a powerful motivator to not put off doing right. To don't delay in doing what you know to be right, but to actually take action, to step out in action. In fact, the business meeting we're going to be having later tonight after the service is a good example of putting this text into practice, which is kind of one of the reasons I felt like this would be a good time to preach this message. And so I look forward to expanding more on that because, speaking of the business meeting anyways, we need to be proactive. We need to be taking steps to make sure that our constitution and bylaws are up to date. Otherwise, we'd be negligent and leave the church vulnerable to the attacks of Satan, to be able to get in here and cause harm in areas that we're not protected. So anyways, as we get to the Word tonight, I'd like you to please stand with me, if you're able, in honor of the reading of God's Word, and follow along as I read Ephesians chapter 5, and verses 15 through 17. And then, if you wouldn't mind, take your finger and flip over to Colossians chapter 4. Let's see. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. We'll be there in just a second. But Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, the Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And then Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." And so the title of the message tonight is taken directly out of our text, Redeeming the Time. Redeeming the Time. And so looking forward to expanding more on that idea and that thought here tonight. So may God bless the reading of His Word as you're seated. We'll get into the message. The time is at hand. The time is at hand. We can't put it off anymore. Today is the day to determine that you will make your day count, not only for yourself, but for God. It's a decision you need to make daily, every day, at the beginning of the day, preferably. Now is the time to look ahead, even, and think about where you are going. Because the decisions that you make over the next few years, even for I'll say it this way, even for some of us older folks, the decisions you make over the next few years will either make you or break you. Now, the younger you are, the more I hope you pay attention, because this one statement is a great impact for you, because the next few decisions you make over this next few years will make you or break you. Deciding what you do, for example, teens, after you get out of high school, will directly shape your future. Deciding who you marry, well, that will directly shape your future. Adults pursuing career paths, job changes, moving, big decisions, sometimes even a car purchase, can change your future in a dramatic way. And so your choices will be the causes for all of the effects that will follow you for the rest of your life. In our text, Paul exhorted the churches both at Ephesus and Colossae, because Paul wrote both books, to be intentional about how they live their lives, and also to be intentional with the choices that they made. We can't afford to not be intentional. There's too much at stake. There's too much at risk to not be intentional with even our smallest decisions. They need to be done with God's kingdom in mind. And so let's look at the choices that people make or made when they were younger and see where it led them. That's a great way you can kind of help make your own choices. Look at someone older than you and see the choices that they made and how, what kind of effect that had on their life. Where did it take them? No doubt, many people, and I'll include myself here, wish they could go back 10 years or more and start over. I can think of a few things that I would love to be able to go back in time and do over. I can think of all the headaches, the heartaches, and the frustrations I could avoid if I just could go back and redo a few things. I think everybody can relate to that to some degree. But I've got some bad news for us tonight. We can't. We can't. We can't go back and undo the things that we did. We have to live with the consequences of the choices we make now. That is why what you do with your day right now is very important. You're here on a Sunday night. That's awesome. Not many people choose to come back on a Sunday night. In fact, I was just speaking with, if you don't mind, Darren, just earlier this evening. I think we're the only church this side of town that has a Sunday evening service. That's the direction so many churches are going. But you think of the effect that that decision is having. How many souls are not getting reached? How many people are not getting discipled and therefore not growing in their walk with the Lord? How is this impacting God's kingdom here and now? Well, you know, it makes sense. I mean, Sunday evening attendance a lot lower, and we could save a lot of money on utilities by not turning on the heating and the lights for a whole nother service just for a few people. Hey, if it's just me and my family here, I'm turning on every single light. I'm going to turn on the heating or air to make it comfortable for us in here. And we're going to have a church service by the grace of God. And so the excuse is people will try to use to justify doing things that seem to be more expedient always tend to set them back. Those are the consequences of those choices. For example, having the benefit of 2020 hindsight, I can see how the choices that I made earlier in my life set the course for the rest of my life. Here's what I mean. Had I not decided to join the military, where would I have ended up? I'm almost positive I would not be here right now. Had I not married my wife, Rebecca, I am about 99.999999 infinity percent sure, I gotta leave room for God to work in there, that I probably wouldn't even be saved right now. My wife was instrumental in me coming to the Lord. Had I not married her and married someone else, or just stayed single, odds are very high I would not be standing here right now, and probably not even a saved person. There are instances where I shudder when I think, what if, when I think about times in my life, if I had done something different? That is why we need to decide now to be serious about our walk with God. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. Now, if you haven't been, now, start now. And if you have been, keep it up. Don't grow weary. Don't be faint. Keep it up. But now, especially now is the time we got to get serious about our walk with God. If you are not intentional about the choices you make now, you are going to find yourself in situations that you never thought you would end up in. Do your choices and thoughts honor God, or are they fleshly and worldly? For example, if you don't decide now to keep yourself pure and save yourself for your future spouse, this is for all the unmarrieds, the young unmarrieds, teenagers, pay close attention. Kids, pay close attention. If you don't decide now to keep yourself pure and save yourself for your future spouse, it's not at all unlikely that you would find yourself with someone who you think is going to be the one, and then do something that can never be undone, only to find out later, oh, that wasn't the one. Or if you are married and you allow your imagination to dabble in a fantasy world, don't be surprised when you find your home and family destroyed because you succumb to acting out on one of those fantasies. When you allow the thought inside your mind, you're opening the door for that thought to become a reality. That is why it's so important that we protect our minds. We guard our thoughts, the Bible says, to try them and to see if they are uplifting, to see if they are in conformance to the Word of God and to Christ. If they're not, to reject them, to get rid of them. Don't even let those thoughts have time to sit in there and bounce around. I know some of us, it could bounce around a whole lot before it hits something, but there we go. But don't let those thoughts in there long enough to do any damage. Capture them. Hold them up to the light of Scripture. Is this in keeping with the Word of God? If it is, great. Hold on to it. Think about it. Use it. Whatever. If it's not, reject it. Return to sender. Not today, Satan. You're not going to have me. So now, actually, you must decide now in order to protect yourself from the consequences of a bad decision that is decided in the moment. Decide now so you don't have to wait for that moment to decide, because that's when those bad decisions actually happen. So now the question that begs to be asked is this. How do you know if a choice you are making is one of those, you know, life-altering choices? You know, one of the big decisions. I want to give you this thought. Be willing to learn from those who are further along the journey in life. This is one of the biggest reasons I am a huge proponent of letting your kids have like friendships with older adults that are mature and can lead them and help teach them alongside you. I'm very grateful, for example, for Miss Jeannie. She's kind of taken my eldest daughter, Brinley, under her wing and is just spending time with her and helping her, and I love that. Miss Alicia, I want to throw you under the bus too. My daughter Addison, y'all two seem to have really connected, and I'm grateful for that because there is so much our younger generation can learn from the older generation. Hey, myself, I have some pastor friends who are a little bit more senior than I am, and I'm so grateful for their wisdom and their experience. I think of Brother Jerry Williams. He filled in the pulpit for me about a month or so ago when I was sick. That man has been so encouraging to me just from the short time I've known him since being in the ministry full time. I was able to ride along with him to Spokane Valley for a preacher's meeting. Man, that is a wise man. All the things God has used him for in his life, he has helped me in so many ways. I could ask him questions and bounce thoughts off of him, and he could give me solid Bible answers and help me through some tough questions. I'm so grateful for those older men who I can look to for examples. So you got to be willing. That's the key. You got to be willing. Don't be, oh, okay, that's nice, old man. I'm still going to do my own thing. You need to be willing to learn from those who are further along the journey of life. Because experience is a very good teacher. Trust me. I know from experience. Consider the fate of the two boys here in this poem. The first boy. He stood at the crossroads all alone, the sunrise in his face. He had no thought for the world unknown. He was set for a manly race. But the road stretched east and the road stretched west, and the boy did not know which road was best. So he took the wrong road and went down, and he lost the race and the victor's crown. He was caught at the last in an angry snare, because none stood at the crossroads there to show him the better road. Another day at the selfsame place, a boy with high hope stood. He too was set for a manly race. He was seeking the things that were good. But one was there who the roads did know, and that one showed him which way to go. So he turned away from the road that went down, and he won the race and the victor's crown. He walks today the highways fair, because one stood at the crossroads there to show him the better way. Please understand, I'm not going to have all the answers all the time. But what I do know is this, that there are some basic Bible principles that will help you face anything, no matter how new or unusual it is to you. And, as in any other problem in life, you can use what you do know to face the unknown. Find yourself in an unknown situation. Like, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in this situation. This is new to me. But I know God is faithful. I know God is just. And I know God is with me. So even though I do not know what this situation for me holds, I know that I can take a step out in faith and trust God to sustain me the entire time and be with me through this journey of the unknown. You don't have to know what a situation is going to come out. If you know God, that you can use the known to get you through the unknown. The devil has his crosshairs on your back. He will do anything and everything in his power to ruin your life and take you out of service for God. He's out there laying traps for you right now. But you don't have to be caught because you do not need to walk alone. I think of the men who fought in the jungles of Vietnam. So many times, some would trip a tripwire and set off a trap. But other times, when the guys had been there a while, they were more experienced, they knew what to look for. So many lives were saved when they would spot something, like, wait a minute, don't step there. That's a trap. That will cause you harm. That will kill you, or whatever it was. It was because they weren't walking alone. They had someone with the experience there with them that helped save their life in that situation. Friends, we have someone that walks with us. And that someone who walks with us is the same one who lives within us and gives us the Holy Spirit, and he walks with us through every situation of life. So when you stumble upon one of these traps that Satan lays out for you, it could be anything. You don't have to fall into that trap. One of the biggest ways Satan can bring down a church is to start picking off families in the church. Oh, if Satan can get the pastor, he can do a ton of damage to that church. I know of churches that have completely dissolved and folded because the pastor was caught up in some kind of sin, and that destroyed the church. That is why I beg you to pray for me. Satan, I feel it at times. Satan has a target on my back. And you know what? This may come as a shock. Okay, no, it won't. I'm just a man. I'm just a human. I'm no different than anyone else. I need the grace of God. I need God's protection in my life, just like you do. So we got to be making sure the decisions we're making keep in mind what God has for us in our life. Does what I'm about to do, is what I'm thinking honoring to God? Does it help edify someone else in the church? Does it help build up my personal walk with the Lord? If the answer is no, move on. Stop dwelling on that. It's not beneficial. It's not going to be helpful. Find something that is helpful. Don't dwell on those things. God wants to help you face your day. So then instead of stepping on Satan's traps, you'll take stepping stone after stepping stone of faith all the way to glory and completely avoiding those traps of Satan. God will be as pleased about that as you will be. Of course, God will not do it all for you. Sorry. God's not going to do it all for you. You got to do it yourself. There are things that you must do. You cannot just drift along because there is a strong, strong current going the other direction that we're fighting against. I mean, come on. Our culture, right now, we are counterculture. We're going against the stream by being here on a Sunday night. You're going against the stream by being a Christian. You're going against the stream for taking a stand on the things of God. We're fighting a strong current against us. You must be strong and overcome that current, or else you'll be as helpless as a boat without a motor above Niagara Falls. The end thereof will not be pretty. If you do not do your part, God cannot help you as He wants to. God wants to help you, but you got to do your part first. Make sure that you have a proper perspective about the need for you to do your part and look at your day as a day of opportunity. Make it count for you and for God. Then God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. So, okay, Pastor, what is this? What's my part? What is the part that I have to do? Easy. Take a step of faith. Just be obedient to whatever God says. Oh, this is a new situation. Step of faith. Hey, I'm okay. Oh, this is a new, uncomfortable situation. Step of faith. I'm okay. Still alive. And the more steps of faith that you take, the more and more and more confident you'll get, trusting that, hey, God has been with me every single time. God has kept me and sustained me and helped me through every single trial of my life. Why should I start doubting Him now? Why should I start worrying about what God's going to do or not do? He's been with me. He's helped me every single time. And so the more faithful you are in doing your part, the more God is able to help you. Now, you stop being faithful in doing your part. Well, guess what? You're going to trip and fall flat on your face. And God's going to stand up there and go, no, He's not. God's going to look at you and go, my poor child, I wanted to help you. I'll help you get back up if you just have faith and ask me for help. See, God never forsakes us, even when we fail. Even when we fall and mess up big time, God's still there just waiting for us to come back to Him. Do your part, and then God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. I cannot overstate the importance of redeeming the time faithfully in our lives. Because there will be a day when it is your turn to stand before God and give an account. Don't be like Esau. Don't be like Esau, who despised his birthright in order to get a bowl of soup. I love me some clam chowder. That's real good. I like thick, hearty soups. A good thick tomato soup with a grilled cheese sandwich. Yeah, baby. Amen. I'm speaking your language now. Some of you are like, okay, Pastor, you better hurry up. But you just made me hungry. But as much as I enjoy a nice grilled cheese sandwich and a bowl of tomato soup or a thick, hearty clam chowder or potato soup of some kind, as much as I enjoy that, I'm not going to sell my soul for it. I'm not going to sell my birthright for it. He despised his birthright in order to satisfy an immediate desire. I guarantee you that had he been thinking ahead, had Esau actually put some thought into what he was doing, he would not have sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He would have been like, this isn't a fair deal. I'll tell you what, I'll do the dishes for the next week, but I'm not going to sell you my birthright. He allowed his impulses and his mindset of only thinking about the present to make the decision for him. And it set into motion his entire future. The choice he made right then forever impacted his future in an irrecoverable way. All because He was only thinking about himself in that moment. Zero mind whatsoever of what the consequences or ramifications of that decision would be. Don't fall into that same trap. Don't only be so consumed about what you want right now in this moment, and who cares what that might mean for the future. You know, if I could have financial stability if I do this unscrupulous thing and shelter some money over here that's not technically mine, and then I can make it grow over here in this way, and I will be financially secure. But then if you just look like 6 months up the road, you realize, oh, because I did that, I've lost my job, I've lost my reputation, I've lost my family, they don't trust me anymore, I'm all alone, I'm broke, and I have no financial stability. The very thing you were trying to do in that moment, wasted, because you weren't thinking ahead of what the consequences would have been. Don't be like an Esau. Don't give in to just the immediate desires of the flesh. Actually think about, you know, the consequences. Think about the future. There's a story told about a splendid, wonderful band of musicians. Every member seemed to be doing his part, and their individual parts blended in the beautiful harmony. I mean, this was the band of bands, and to be a member of it, whoo, cream of the crop. Things were going well for the players until one day it was announced that every single member had to play a solo. One trumpeter was horrified. When his turn finally came, he raised up his trumpet, and not a sound came out. Everyone waited. Maybe he was nervous, but there was only silence, a deathly silence. His fellow players were stunned. The truth was, he couldn't play. He didn't know how to play the trumpet. For 2 whole years, he had been part of the band. Outwardly, he had performed splendidly. He had raised up his trumpet when he was supposed to. He pushed out his lips, moved his fingers all like he was supposed to. Outwardly, he looked like he could do it all. But the moment of truth had come. He could not play. He never had played. He had had all the motions, but no music. He had been a first-class hypocrite. So you might ask, didn't he know? Didn't he have any idea that there was going to be a day when the truth would come out? Surely he didn't think he could get away with this forever. I mean, wouldn't it have been better if he just never joined in the first place? Well, duh, yeah. The answer seems pretty obvious. But he is so typical of how so many people live. They go through all the motions of life. They go to church just as if they love the Lord. They obey the law. They talk pleasantly. Try to live a decent moral life. Hey, maybe even they pray and read their Bible, as they have seen good, godly people do. But they ignore the fact that sometime they must do their solo before Almighty God. God will expose their inner emptiness, just as the musician was exposed. He knows if people are living by true heart love for Him, or if they are just going through hollow motions. God knows the difference between a true born-again Christian and someone who's just going through the motions, someone who's just faking it. Someday, you and I must stand before God and give an account for ourselves. You're not going to be responsible for me. I'm not going to be responsible for you. We are responsible for what we've done for our own lives. You're going to have to play your own solo. Not only will your actions be exposed, but also your motives. Now, there's a humbling thought. It's like, man, I've given so much money to charity. Whenever I see like the homeless people on the street, I'll go up there and like, hey, dude, you look hungry. Here's a few bucks. Here's a drink. Here's some food. And I'll just do that all the time. And make sure some folks see me too, by the way. Doing a good thing. You're helping somebody that's in need. But the motive. Hey, everybody, over here. Look at me. Look how awesome I am. I'm doing something wonderful. Hey, here you go, kids. Here, all this money we're raising for Possibilities Pregnancy Center. Look how awesome we are. Look at this. I mean, we just started. We're already starting to fill this thing up. This is wonderful. We are amazing. You are wonderful people. If your motive is to donate loose change and money for the Women's Center for helping them stop abortions in our county, in our town, if your motive is just to, hey, look at how much money I'm giving to this cause, hey, thanks for your money. We'll take it. But God knows your true motive. And when you go up there to heaven, you start getting looked at, you start playing your solo, when you get to that part of your life, you'll be playing, but no sound's coming out. God's going to know. We can't hide our motives from God. The truth will finally come out. Again, it's a sobering thought. And it should be. It should be a sobering thought, humbling thought. Because the outcome will be for all eternity. There's no going back. The choices you make right now can never be undone. They can be forgiven, but you can't always get away from the consequences. The truth of the matter is that it doesn't mean that you need to end up like the musician. You don't have to be like that guy. If you think ahead to the time when it will be your turn and you live genuinely, you have nothing to fear. If you live your life thinking, okay, I'm going to give an account for everything that I do to God. So with that thought in mind, I'm going to make sure whatever I'm doing will stand up to that time. I want to make sure that I'm developing myself spiritually. I want to make sure that I'm walking right with God. I want to make sure I'm doing right by other people. I want to make sure my motives are pure because I'm keeping that goal, that day in mind when I'm going to stand before God. And I want to make that I want to do everything in my own power and by God's grace that I can stand before God in that day and say, Lord, I've given you my best. I've given you everything that I could possibly give. I know that's not enough, God, but that's all that I had, and I wanted to give it to you. I want to be able to stand before God in that day and be able to say that. God, my best isn't close to good enough, but it's all that I had, and I just wanted to give it all to you. I hope that's your goal too. I hope that you desire to, when you stand before God, because you will, every single one of us, one day will stand before God. And if you're born again, you're going to be standing before Him as your Savior. Praise the Lord. But if you're not born again, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, you're not going to be standing before Him as your Savior. You're going to be kneeling before Him as your judge. And so one day, one way, we're all going to stand before the Lord. I hope and pray that your desire, if you're saved, is that you're going to be able to stand before God and say, God, I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm just a human. I know my absolute best is not worth much, but it's all that I have. And though I just want to give it to you, God. Everything that I have, I want to give to you. If you live your life with that goal in mind, you will be amazed. You will be amazed at how God will work in your life because you'll be a very humble person. And you won't even have to take pride in your humility. God will bless you in so many ways. God wants you to live for Him and be able to live a happy and satisfying life. Now, I'm not talking prosperity gospel here. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just being faithful to God and experiencing His blessings because of your faithfulness. If you realize that you must give an account and allow that fact to help you do right, you can indeed enjoy the days of your youth or the days you have here on this earth. It'll spare you from some of the consequences of those bad decisions. You are happiest when you do what you know you ought to do. I'll wrap it up with this. When you are living for a specific purpose, you enjoy the effort it takes to achieve that purpose. So let me give you an example. Let's say you've set a goal that you want to lose 10 pounds. Or let's say it's a financial goal and you want to save $1,000. That's your goal. Now, if you are serious about achieving that goal, you're going to change your eating habits. If you're trying to lose weight, you're going to change your eating habits. You're going to start exercising daily and be regularly monitoring your progress. You'll be stepping on the scale every morning. All right, how much have I lost? Not enough. Okay, keep working at it. And you're going to be diligently attacking that goal. You're going to sacrifice, God help you, eating cookies and treats. You're going to have to sacrifice those things. You're going to have to choose to get up and be active instead of laying around watching YouTube all day. Now, for the savings goal, you're going to have to closely monitor where every single dollar you have is spent. You're going to have to look for ways that you can cut back in your budget and your spending and aggressively build up your savings account. You're going to be doing these things because you have a day in mind when you will look in the mirror or check your financial balance and be satisfied that you accomplished the goal that you had set out to do. It's the exact same thing that I'm asking you to do with this message. Look forward to the day that you will have to play your solo and base your choices accordingly. Redeem the time. People sometimes act as if living for the flesh is really great. Oh, just fulfill the desires of the flesh. But as the saying goes, it ain't all it's cracked up to be. The fun only lasts for a short time. When the pleasure disappears, the dues are extremely high. Someone described this disappointment as the high cost of low living. Don't be fooled by the glitter and glamour of sin and self-seeking. It wasn't too long ago that someone did a survey of a number of celebrities. Their record of broken homes, misery, drugs, and suicide certainly show that the present, even at its best, does not satisfy. The personal lives of some of the most envied and glamorized people prove it. Their lives are just as messed up as our lives. So the people we look up to and idolize and glamorize, they're seeking the best this world has to offer. And look what it's leaving them with. Broken homes, drug addictions, suicides. The high cost of low living. God settles some accounts sooner, some later. But sooner or later, the accounting day comes. So what can you do about it? Great, Pastor, you've just destroyed our evening. Told us all these things, but I don't know what to do about it. Well, have no fear. I'm here to help. Accountability. That one word. Accountability. None of us can ever escape it. But actually, why should we want to? Why should we be afraid of accountability? Look at the people who live as if there is none, as if there is no accountability. See all the difficulty and debauchery that they get themselves into. Accepting accountability, that is where safety lies. When you are tempted or you must make a decision, just remember that someday, and you don't know how soon, you must answer for what you do. It will give you strength to live a life you will never need to be ashamed of. Now, isn't that a good feeling? To know that I don't have to be ashamed of what I've done in my life, because what I've done in my life, I've done my best to do for the honor and glory of God. That's a great feeling. So I really hope you'll consider what we've talked about tonight. Some of you might just be flirting with some very dangerous choices that will have lifelong and irrecoverable and irreversible consequences. Never forget that you will have to give an account to God with how you use the body He gave you and the time He gave you. Also, never forget that if you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit to help you, give you the strength that you lack to make the right choice. Be sure you are taking time every day to grow in the Lord. Make that a top priority in your life. Read your Bible and pray every day, and as the children's song goes, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Don't read your Bible or pray all day, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Simple song, powerful truth. Accepting accountability, developing your spiritual life, it will do your soul good. That's the challenge I want to leave you with tonight. Are you redeeming the time, or are you wasting it? Are you living as if there's accountability in your life, or are you living as if there's no accountability? Whether you accept it right now or not, there's accountability. And there is a very high cost of low living. It's not a good ROI, not a good return on investment. So don't even waste your time investing in it. Purpose right now, say, God, I can't change the past. And for everywhere that I failed there, God, please forgive me. But from this point forward and on through as much life as I got left, I want to purpose and commit before you, God, to keep that judgment day in mind and to live my life now in a way that will be pleasing on that day, to where I'll be able to stand before you unashamed and say, Lord, it ain't much, but it's my very best. That's all I've got, and I give it to you. Let that be your goal. Let that be your heart's desire. Let's have a brief moment of invitation. Miss Diane, Brother Grace, if you wouldn't mind. I initially wasn't planning on an invitation, but I just feel like it won't be appropriate right now. And so if you want to do a little bit of business with the Lord, I want to encourage you. Let's go ahead and let's stand just to make it comfortable for anybody who might want to get out. But let's go ahead and stand. We'll have a time of invitation. If you need to do business with God, the altar is open. It's available. I want to encourage you. Come make that divine appointment. Make that commitment before the Lord and see what He'll do in your life when you do.